Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Molly Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
Amen. Well, I got another text this week with another job offer. And this text offered me a part-time job, flexible hours, and they said 60 to 90 minutes of work per day, 4 days a week, $500 a day. $500 a day. Now, I don't know what list I got on, but I get these texts rather frequently. Is anyone else? Anyone else get these texts, these job offers that come through? Or what about the signs on the side of the road that say, hey, you want a job? No experience needed. Hiring now. Come get your dream job. Make thousands from home. Have we seen these signs? Okay. Has anyone ever, even for a second, been tempted to just, what if I just call? What happens if I text back? Like, have you been tempted, right? Like, we know this sounds too good to be true. We know it. But yet there's a part of us that we just want to lean in, right? This has been a common, like, too good to be true, maybe, but maybe not. Offers all throughout history. Has anyone heard of the Sir Francis Drake estate scam? This thing has been going on. It's the longest running since 1916. It's conned thousands of people into believing that all they have to do is pay to recover the estate funds. And it's theirs, right? Like, we know better. We know better. But there is something about when we hear an offer that's good, like that our life will be changed if we lean in. We want everything in us. We want to believe it, even though we know better. Well, this Sunday, this week, I want to give you a genuine offer. And no, you do not have to give me the names and numbers of three of your friends before you leave. This does not involve a pyramid, no gimmicks. It's not just about to expire. No, I want to look at the offer that God has put on the Thanksgiving table of your life. And I just want to offer this to you today. If you ever wanted abundant life without your salary changing, if you have ever wanted to worry less or have a closer relationship with Jesus, then this offer is for you. And the best part of this whole thing is that the offer is within reach today. And so my goal today is to walk you through this offer, the offer that God has put on the Thanksgiving table. The potential that you would leave convinced today, that you would leave, that you would know this is not an offer that I'm going to leave on the table, that I must live a life full of Thanksgiving, not just for 1 week, not just for 1 week. So this is a three-part offer that I want to walk you through. And our first part is that gratitude awakens abundance. Gratitude awakens abundance. When was the last time you had too much of something, like so much of something that you didn't know what to do with all of it? When my kids were in high school, all of them worked part-time jobs at Panera. We should be making money off of however many times Kevin and I use the name Panera from this pulpit, but they worked at Panera. And shortly after the pandemic months, Panera had to stop its donation program. And my middle son, Cole, he, for some reason, often worked the closing shift, the night shift. And very regularly, we would get a call from our son around 10 p.m. on his way home. And he would say, hey, I'm on my way home. Get ready. I need some help getting everything out of the car because I am bringing home the bakery. He would say, I'm bringing home the bakery, Mom and Dad. And so sure enough, he would pull in and we would go out and we would bring trips in and he would take everything that was left over at the bakery and he would fill these massive plastic bags that then would go in these massive cardboard boxes and we would lay it out all over the kitchen table. And we would like dive into these plastic bags and I would look through for my favorite treats like the chocolate chip muffin top or the cinnamon crunch bagel. And I'd pull out like one or two things that I loved. And then we would look at all of the rest of it on the table. And we were like, What are we going to do with all of this? Like, this has been happening regularly. My upstairs freezer is already full. My backup freezer is already full. And so I would text the neighbors and I would say, can anyone take some bagels? We're bringing over bagels. And we would put it all in gallon Ziploc bags and we would drive it around the neighborhood and put it at porches. Two baguettes for you, a bread bowl for you. And we would put it all over the neighborhood. Now, I believe this is a picture of our lives, what our lives are supposed to look like, that we were designed to be the bakery box with extra, that we were designed to overflow, actually, into each other's lives, that we were designed to overflow strength, the compassion of God, hope, courage, wisdom. Like, oh, you need a little truth here. I got some extra today. I need a little, like, encouragement. Oh, good. It's flowing over in your life into mine. That was supposed to be this overflow back and forth. That's why God uses this language. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. He uses that language. And his goal was that all flesh would be crammed with heaven, that we would be crammed with his glory, that he would be able to spread it all over the earth through humanity. This is the design, right? This was the design. I see this in this scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is what Paul writes. Look at this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Look at this design. God's grace, his goodness is abounding to us. I looked up this word in the Greek, and this word actually, I love this. I didn't know this was a thing. The word is superabound. That's the definition that they use here. Superabound. Like, let's put a super, like, abound isn't enough to hold it. Let's put a super in front of it. Superabound. That's our lives. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Yes, sign me up for this type of humanity, right? This is the truth. This is the truth. But is this our lived experience, church? Is this our lived reality? I think that we're missing something because we tend towards a scarcity mindset. We are disconnecting from this abounding grace in all things, having all we need. I believe that we walk around more aware of what we don't have than the superabounding that is available to us. We are pulled towards this mindset of insufficient, that in any given moment, we are more in touch with what we still need, what we haven't been given, how we were done wrong, what hasn't come through yet. We tend to see life through a lens of deprivation and lack as we walk on this earth. We don't think we have enough. And whatever we do have, we sure have to protect. We don't know what's coming in the future. We just have to make sure we're going to be okay. And so we don't super abound. We don't overflow. Instead of looking for places, my coworkers today, who needs an overflow today? Instead of looking for that, we're protecting our own and we live in an occasional trickle, not an overflow. So how do we get in touch with this super abounding grace that God's saying he has poured out, that he has provided for our lives? How? Gratitude. Remember, this is the offer on the Thanksgiving table. Gratitude brings the bakery home. Gratitude brings the bakery home. Do you remember that one time that Jesus was with the disciples and they found themselves in a place of lack, in a place of need, and not enough when there's a hungry crowd of 5,000 people. Do you remember how the story goes? I have the scripture here for you. Do you see what Jesus did? He just took the little bit. He just took the bakery moment, the little bit of bread and the 5 loaves. And what did he do? What did he do? He looked to heaven and he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And what happened in that moment? Superabound happened in that moment, right, guys? There was plenty to feed. This was a miracle bakery moment before our eyes. But we see the disciples are coming in with that natural mindset of where are we going to ever get enough for the need, lack. We don't have it. And Jesus shows them, this is how we were designed to live, looking up to heaven, seeing the source of everything, the provider of everything, the one who created the world out of nothing, to look up to the one who is the giver, and to be thankful for what he has already provided. And in that moment, multiplication, overflow happens, multiplying what is needed. This is the way that God intended us to move through this life. Notice everything we do have in the giver who provides it and who can multiply what is needed in gratitude, right? In gratitude. In gratitude, we can see the abundance right in front of us. Look at all I have. Did anyone notice the bright sun? I was driving to church and I'm like, whoa, that's so bright. Like, look at the beautiful sky, God. Look at what you've given me. I know there's toilets are malfunctioning, but I have this beautiful cup of coffee in my hand as I am enjoying the blue sky. Thank you for people who know how to fix toilets, you know? Like, thank you, God, that someone will get out of bed and help us. Look at what we do have. Look at what we do have. The roof over your head, the closet full of clothes, and these are just the natural things. What about the fact that we have been given every spiritual blessing? What about the fact that we wake up in the mercy of God, that it's new every morning? The reality of what it means to be forgiven and made right with the God of the universe. What about the fact that he has said, I've covered you. I've covered all of your life with my sacrificial love, and my love will never fail you. My hope will never disappoint you. Gratitude awakens us to the abounding, to the abundance in all things, so that our life will be like it was meant to be, an overflow. This week, late in the week, I had to go to the post office to mail a package, and it was actually the second time that I went. The first time I went, there was a problem with the customs form. I went home and tried to fix it, went back to the post office on Friday to mail it, and they told me, nope, it's still not right. You have to go home, you have to fix it, figure this out, and come back. And I'm leaving the post office, and I'm driving, and I am just, steam is like coming out of every pore. I'm like, God, I do not have time for this. This is so frustrating. I had my day all planned out, and another trip back was not in the plan. And I'm talking to myself, and I'm like, I do not have time. There is not enough time. I have to work on a sermon on gratitude. I do not have time for this hassle, right? And I'm going on and on. There's not enough time. And it's like more and more frustration, more anxiety. And all of a sudden, when I realized I was looping and I don't have enough time, it was like, Molly, you're living in a scarcity mindset in that moment. And I realized that message, I don't have enough time in my day, literally is the lo-fi music in the background of my highlight reel of my life. Like, that is my message. There is not enough time. There is not enough. There's not enough. And I feel like the Holy Spirit showed me this mindset. And I was like, okay, so what is the access to abundant life? And the Lord was like, gratitude. And so as I'm driving, I just start going, God, I thank you that you made enough time in the day for me to do everything you asked me to do. I thank you that your Spirit partners with me in my minute to minute. I thank you that you are so creative. You can figure out a way to like meet me in my work. I thank you for partnership. I thank you for help, and on and on and on. And you know what happened in that moment? All of a sudden in my soul, there was like space. It was like this spaciousness, this peace, this abounding. And then I could overflow into that person I was meeting with next. I could overflow out of just a stability and a confidence and an awareness of God with me. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Here is your challenge. I want you to start learning how to bring home the bakery every day. And so I want to give you a 3-minute challenge for the rest of the month. Not just for the next week where we're celebrating Thanksgiving, the rest of the month, every night, I want you to try to end your day with this 3-minute challenge. And all I want you to do is I want you to think about, just maybe as you're plugging your phone in or something, as you're doing like brushing your teeth, I want you to start to think back at your day, to turn your mind back towards your day. And I want you to come up with 3 things that you are thankful that you have. Just 3 things that you have that you're thankful for. And then I want you to think about 3 people who bless you. So Molly, Kevin, just one more person. That's all. You have to come up with one more. Three ways that God has shown up for you recently. They can be small things. And I think this would be really fun if you go to bed with someone, like do it at the end of the day with them. Three ways God showed up recently. And what we're going to do is we're going to begin to build a lifestyle of abounding abundance because we're going to focus our eyes. We're going to scan for the abundant things that we do have instead of the lack. We're going to retrain our minds toward gratitude and away from scarcity. And all of a sudden, we're going to realize like, oh, we have something to overflow out of our life. So here's the first part. Gratitude awakens abundance. Yes. All right. I'm thankful that you're with me. Okay. Here we go. The second offer. Gratitude is the antidote for ... I love going to the movies. I'm very easily entertained at the movies. It doesn't take much to make me happy. Like, just give me a quiet place, movie theater, and some popcorn. Most of the time, I'm as happy as I can be as I walk out. And a lot of times, I'm walking out of the movies and with Kevin, and I always turn to him, and the first thing I say is, What did you think? And I'm like just happy as can be. And he likes it. But there's one thing that just ruins a movie for Kevin, and it's believability. And he will say, I didn't like it. It wasn't believable. And I'm like, it wasn't believable? It's a movie, right? Like, I thought that was the whole point. Get out of real life into a story, right? Like, I never even noticed that it wasn't believable until you said that. But there is one thing that really bothers me from a movie, and that's when it ends abruptly. That's when, like, you're just chugging along, and it was like all of a sudden the writers ran out of creativity or time or money, and they just crash land the movie. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're watching, and then all of a sudden the credits come on, and you're like, What happened? Like, did they get back together? Where's my happy ending? I need closure, people. I need closure. And if it ends too abruptly, it literally can ruin the hour and 55 minutes before that can be ruined. I need closure. Don't leave me hanging. Did you know that your brain feels the same way? Your brain hates a cliffhanger. It does not like incomplete. It craves closure. So when I didn't give you the name of the, how did that feel, right? I heard you. You want to finish the sentence for me, right? Your brain is wired to fill in missing information. And it is constantly doing this. It is constantly completing the story. It's constantly completing the unfinished picture, filling in the blanks. It is a prediction machine, your brain is. Okay, we have that on one hand. And at the same time, our brain is hardwired to pay more attention to what is negative, what is dangerous, what is could be disastrous, threatening in any ways. And if you think about it, it makes sense because in early human survival, our brain is always looking to, if we misread danger, it could kill you, but misreading something positively rarely did, right? So we have this setup in our brain, where our brain is set up to fill in the story, fill in the gaps with information, but as it does, it has a negativity bias. Can you relate to this? Like when no one responds to your text, don't you instantly think, oh, they're mad at me, what have I done? You're replaying, oh, you're playing the story out, right? Why it's so bad. This is why anxiety spirals feel automatic. Because they are, right? They are. Your amygdala in your brain, that's the fear center, and that thing kicks on first. That thing is super fast responding. So the amygdala, the fear center, is the first to show up to the party. It is the first thing that speaks up before your prefrontal cortex, that rational part, gets a chance to be heard. So this is what's happening. Before you know it, your brain is completing the story, and the default is fear. Okay, I know. In some ways, we're hardwired for anxiety, right? Bad news. Here's the good news. Brain science tells us that actually gratitude rewires this prediction loop. It actually can get involved, and what gratitude can do is it actually activates that prefrontal cortex, and it deactivates, it quiets the amygdala. So it brings that gratitude brings that rational part into functioning. It turns it on. It highlights. It gets it going. So here's the offer that I didn't finish. Gratitude is the antidote for anxiety. Some of you already knew that. You were there. It's what God had in mind when he said this through Paul. This is amazing. This is what he said. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We love it when science confirms God's wisdom. We love this, right? Thanksgiving was designed as a means to overcome anxiety in our brain. So in every situation, with Thanksgiving, we bring that circumstance before God, that unfinished picture that our brain really wants to complete. We bring it before the Lord. And here's why this is amazing, is that anxiety is your brain trying to finish the story without God, without the possibility of God, without the presence of God. It's predicting a future that doesn't have God in the story. That's what worry is. It's looking ahead, and it's not being able to bring the presence and the power of God into it. But gratitude invites God back into the story, back into your imagination. So how exactly do we thank God in our circumstances? Let's get practical, because this can be a really hard thing. That some of us are really going through hard circumstances. We've had hard things in our lives, chronic illness, job loss, betrayal, broken relationships. Are we supposed to be thankful for? Well, hold on, Jer. Hold up. Are we supposed to be thankful for those things? It doesn't say that. It doesn't. Look at the scripture. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say give thanks for, Jeremy. It says give thanks in, and that makes a world of difference. Because here's what we can do in every circumstance, is we can thank God for who he is. For who he is in that circumstance. We can be thankful for who he is, because we know that he is Savior. That means he is saving. He is Redeemer. That means he is currently redeeming. He is provider. He's providing. He is restorer. He's restoring. He is conformer. He's conforming it. This is what it says in Ephesians 1:11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. This is a life-changing scripture right here. This is amazing. He works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. He is working it out. That thing that we are like, this seems like a loss. This seems like this disappointment, this struggle, this weakness, this trouble. No, we know all of those things. He is conforming them to his will. Let's think about that word for a second, conforming. Think about the conforming process. I don't know what comes to mind for you. Maybe like Play-Doh or something like that. Think about that conforming. Something is getting worked until it becomes in a new shape. It looks different. It's worked into something different. This week, Kevin and I were watching, what are we going to watch? What Christmas thing are we going to watch? We got through all the Hallmark movies, and we picked the glass blowing competition, the Christmas glass blowing competition. Has anyone seen this glass blowing process? Right, they start with this blob of molten material. It's just a blob. It's nothing. And it's transformed in by the breath and the hand. It's transformed into something spectacular. Like these, the colors and the how translucent, and it's beautiful. This is the conforming process, starting with just a blob of nothing, but that material is worked until it becomes something the artist designed it to become. This is what God is doing, you guys. Scripture tells us with everything. This is why we can rejoice always. This is why we can give thanks in everything, that God is working his redemptive repair, and restoration, bringing something artful forward. I need you to hear me on this. The ultimate end of every trouble, every hardship, every suffering is that God will be Redeemer over it. In the end, He will be Redeemer over it. He will bring good about to all of it. So I just wanted to take a moment and practice this together with you. I want to give you vision for what this could look like and what it could sound like. And I felt like what the Holy Spirit was inviting us to is just to start with the people in the room that have some sort of physical pain or physical issue. It can be new. It can be ongoing. It doesn't matter at all. What we're going to do is I'm going to give you a prayer. I'm going to pray over you, but I'm going to give you a model of how to be thankful in instead of for. So will you pray with me for just a second? And I'm just going to pray over you, everyone in the room with physical pain. And I want you to, if you can, join your heart and your faith to this prayer. But this is what it would sound like to be thankful in. God, I thank you that you are healer. In the midst of this, in the midst of the unfinished, in the midst of the pain and the suffering, I thank you that you are still healer. I thank you that you are so close. I thank you that you are restorer. I thank you, God, that you are the one who is repairing, that you are both creator, you are both author and finisher. Jesus, we thank you that you overcame all sickness on the cross, that you had the final word over this on the cross. I thank you that we get a picture of what it looks like, that the final end is resurrection life. And that everything is submitted to you. And you have the last word. Thank you that you are conforming it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now for the rest of us, I want you to think of a hardship, take a difficulty, take something in your life that is unfinished, that maybe you just, it's heavy on your heart. Maybe you woke up in the middle of the night, it was heavy on your heart. Maybe it's an ongoing thing. I want you to think of something that is it causes you pain, grief, trouble, worry, all those things. I want you to think of that. And I want you to close your eyes in prayer with me. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit for a vision of what it looks like to be in the hands of the conformer. And as you do that, here's what a prayer would sound like. Thank you, God, that you are currently redeeming this situation. Thank you that what the enemy meant for evil, you are working for good. Thank you that you are sovereign over everything. Thank you that you are bringing about eternal glory in this. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, that this is a momentary trouble, but it is achieving for me eternal glory that outweighs. Thank you that you are doing what I can't yet see. Thank you that in the midst of this, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the trouble, that the promise is that it is producing perseverance, character, and hope does not disappoint. Thank you that I can put it in your hands, the one who conforms everything to the purpose of his will. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask, did anyone experience some peace in that moment? Yeah, okay, I see hands back in the sound booth. Guys, gratitude is the antidote for anxiety. That's the offer on the table. I have one more. I know it's a lot, but this offer just goes and goes and goes. I have one more. I'm going to do it really fast. All right. So our first one is gratitude awakens abundance. Our second one is that gratitude is the antidote for anxiety. Don't expect A's on this one. We're not doing it. Gratitude breaks the distance. That's the third offer. Gratitude breaks the distance. Have you ever felt disconnected from God? And you were like, you know what? I know I'm made for friendship, and I hear people talk about a close relationship with God, and that sounds good. I wish I had that. But the truth is, I feel more distant than close to God. Maybe you feel like I do, or I feel like most of the day, I just feel like I'm going about my day, like doing all of my natural things, my chores, my work, you know, a workout, learning how to make giant bows on social media, you know, just normal stuff. And we want connection, right? We want connection, but the truth is what we really want is an awareness of God's presence, because we're not disconnected from God. God does not come and go. But what we're really looking for is we are looking for that we feel disconnected from an awareness of God's presence. Like Jacob, who said, surely God was in this place and I didn't even know it, right? We want that awareness. So what can bring us close? Gratitude. Wow, you guys are amazing. Gratitude. Really quickly, I just want to show you this, the story of the 10 lepers. These men had the worst disease possible in this society. They're ostracized from the community. They have to live apart. There's no hope. There's no medical cure for this. And they know that Jesus is near. And from a distance, they're yelling out, Jesus, like, have mercy on us. Help us. Jesus, help. And so Jesus says, go. As you go, you're going to be healed. Go show yourself to the priest. Because in that day, the priests were the ones that could say, you're clean and you can go back to life. You can go back to being with your loved ones, your community. And they go and they're healed. And what happens? One comes back. And Jesus are like, he's like, where's the rest of the other 10? Where's the rest of the 9? They got healed too. Where are they? 9 men missed Jesus. 9 men were just out carrying on with their lives, reconnecting, doing their lives as normal. And God uses numbers over and over again in the scripture, guys, to show us our human tendency. He shows us how most hearts respond. And I always ask when I see numbers, where am I in these numbers? Where am I? Am I with a 9 away, like celebrating what I have and doing my thing with my people? Or am I the one that comes back to Jesus? Gratitude breaks the distance. We see the story starts with a distance. They stood at the distance and they were calling out, and it ends with nearness. One who threw himself at the feet of Jesus in thanks. So gratitude is this posture that turns a moment of blessing into a lifestyle of intimacy. Guys, it brings us back to Jesus over and over and over and over because we can thank him for everything endlessly. It can be an endless conversation that we just keep going as we go about our day, a conversation that never has to get awkward. It never has to end. It's like, as I was sitting there writing this, I was like, thank you, God, for I can hear my washing machine. Thank you that I don't have to hand wash my clothes. And there was a candle burning. Thank you for this candle. Thank you for my cup of tea. I love tea. Thank you for the heat that's heating my house. Guys, it's endless. It is endless. Endless. It is an endless conversation. It is an intimacy with gratitude. Are you walking forward, turning to the blesser over and over and over? That is the call. That's what I'm asking you to do, is to begin this lifestyle of walking in an endless conversation of thanksgivings. Okay? Gratitude awakens abundance. It reminds you that you're not living in scarcity, but in overflow. Gratitude is the antidote for anxiety. It pulls God back into the picture so that peace can guard your mind. And lastly, gratitude brings you close to Jesus. Turn every blessing into an ongoing conversation with him. Thanksgiving. I want us to be the table that we live at, guys. I want us to pull up a chair and live at this table. All right? Okay.